Welcome back to the Reading and Writing Podcast. I'm joined on the podcast today by Monica Chenault Kilgore, author of the debut novel, Long Gone, Come Home. Bestselling writer Bryn Turnbull wrote about the novel. Monica Chenault Kilgore's Long Gone, Come Home is a big-hearted story of perseverance, family, and ambition set against the backdrop of the Great Depression and the racial intolerances of the early 20th century. In Birdie, Chenault Kilgore has created an unforgettable heroine whose resilience and determination will resonate long after you finish reading. Monica, welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you, Jeff, for having me.
Absolutely. Well, if someone hasn't yet heard about your novel, Long Gone, Come Home, how would you describe the novel?
Well, Long Gone, Come Home is a fictional coming-of-age drama that's told through the lens of a young woman who overcomes multiple dilemmas while searching for her missing husband during the 1930s to early 40s. The story traces her experiences as she travels from a small farm town in Kentucky to the big cities of Chicago, Illinois, and Cincinnati, Ohio. It's part adventure, part romance, with a touch of mystery, with a backdrop of the emerging jazz era, the vestiges of the Great Depression, the ramp up to World War II, and the progression of the civil rights movement.
Well, do you remember the original idea or impetus that led you to writing Long Gone, Come Home?
Oh, wow. It went through tons of transformation. Jeff, this is my debut novel, but it didn't start off as being a novel. Many years ago, I was trying to do a nonfiction kind of interview with women from different ages, multiple generational women and girls, to talk about their dreams, to talk about their lives, how their lives turned out, were their expectations met as they grew older and started their family. So I wanted to have, stories of folks from across the nation, because I've lived in the Midwest, on the East Coast, on the West Coast. And my goal was to actually, have a series of, interviews with different women to share what we have in common regionally, despite our regional differences and our generational differences. So I started interviewing, different folks that I knew. And one woman that I interviewed was a friend of my mother's. We called her Nanny, but her name was Birdie. And she was such a bon vivant. She was just, she was an older woman. At the time I interviewed her, she was in her, approaching her 90s. And she told just lively stories about her life in Kentucky, the many loves of her life and things like that, and the disappointments. And so from my nonfiction project, which really wasn't, I just wanted to write, so it wasn't, deeply rooted. And after speaking with Birdie, I was like, oh, wow, my imagination started to run rampant. And I said, I can take her story and just keep it moving and, write a fictional piece about a woman who discovers herself as she lives her life from the small farm towns through big cities, becoming an entrepreneur, becoming a mother, and, suffering love and great love and loss. So it just evolved from there.
And was there a specific moment where you basically decided, oh, I'm going to write this fictionally as opposed to nonfiction?
Well, this was back in the day. So I was recording my interviews with Birdie. And then when I was listening to the recordings and she was talking about some of the things that occurred in her life, I was like, oh, wow, what if this happened? And what if this happened? And it, I'm a writer. So, and, I come from, reading multiple fairy tales when I was a child. So my imagination just said, oh, wow, let's just write a story, about Birdie. But the story Long Gone Come Home isn't really about the real Birdie, but she was the, you know, the impetus for all of the things that happened. And the rest was organic, you know, imagination.
Sure. Well, once you had finished writing, excuse me, once you had finished writing the novel, what was your path to publication and finding a publisher?
Oh my gosh. Now, you know, I, it was tremendous. And it wasn't at all what I anticipated, of course, but I love telling this story. So once I got to a certain point and I thought the novel was the best thing ever, not quite yet, but I thought it was, I set out to query for agents and things like that. And I, of course, in my mind, I thought everyone who came across this manuscript would just love it. They would love it so much. They just, yes, Monica, they'd throw money at me. They'd hoist me on their shoulders and say, this is the best thing ever. However, it was very quickly I learned that was not the case. So when I sent it out to query, I got a ton of rejections. And I mean a ton of rejections. Mm-hmm. And I knew this because I knew the story wasn't going to be, you know, it wasn't for everyone. But no after no after no came. And I was like, okay, let's try this. So I revamped all kinds of things. I revamped the query. I revamped the story. I did all kinds of things to change to try to get, you know, get it through the door. But I got up close to 100. I should say a little over 100 rejections. But then I said, you know what? This has got to happen. This story, in my heart of heart, I knew it had to happen. I kept pushing and kept pushing. And ultimately, it did happen. So I always tell people, you know, do not, you know, turn away from your dream. You know, it can happen. Every no is one step closer to yes. So you got to keep it moving. Learn what you need to learn. Keep your, you know, eyes open. Don't take it personal. You know, revamp and shift as you learn, but you got to keep going. Because like I said, after 100 rejections, you know, there was a ding right there at the end and I was able to get through it.
That's wonderful. Well, it is a historical novel. What kind of research did you do as you were writing the novel?
Oh, it was, fun stuff, of course. You know, you go through all you can on the internet, and of course, you spend hours and hours and hours chasing little, you know, stories. But I can say what was most helpful was, you know, going to the library. I'm an old school girl. I love the libraries and just looking at old newspapers. I mean, the newspapers that they had and reading different stories during that era. And they were written, you know, I have a journalism background and, you know, I went through, you know, the Ohio State School of Journalism and learned how to properly, you know, write newspaper articles. But back in the 30s and, you know, around that time, newspaper articles were written with such flair. They were just entertainment. There were stories, you know, about, you know, society issues, you know, people that jump through windows, poison their spouse, and they were just written. I mean, it was just, you know, of course, again, the creativity and imagination jumped in, you know. So, you know, looking through those old newspapers, you know, gave me the tone of the times, but also helped spark the imagination to let me know where my story went through. So, you know, going through all kinds of libraries throughout, you know, New Jersey, went through Rutgers University. I went over to Harlem, you know, to the New York to look through at the Schomburg. That was helpful as well. And just went from there.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You know.
Wow, that's great. Well, you write about jazz in the novel. Do you listen to music while you're writing?
Oh my gosh, music is my life, basically. There's always a music on somewhere. You know, I grew up in a household. I mean, of course, I wasn't there in the 30s and 40s, but, you know, my mom loved music. So there was always a soundtrack playing in the background that was either signaling us to be quiet or, you know, just signaling us to, you know, do your homework or whatever. There's always music and basically jazz. You know, I grew up with the Modern Jazz Quartet and Ramsey Lewis and, you know, also the classics. You know, my mom took us to the symphony. So, you know, I have an interest in classical music as well. Jazz music is my jam, so to speak. You know, I love to hear, you know, even the contemporary jazz, but, you know, I'm into the classics, Miles Davis and the like. So music, you know, it kind of gives me, you know, the energy. So I listen to music all the time and I incorporate that in all my writing because it kind of sets the tone. You know, I have a soundtrack for, you know, love and have a soundtrack for even dinner, whether it's a big dinner or a small dinner. So I love music and I try to incorporate it and a little bit of music history in everything that I write.
That's great. Well, what writing advice would you offer for those who are working on their own stories or novels?
Oh, I really believe there's so many stories out there. And if someone feels the need to write, they need to write it and get it out there. One bit of advice I tell people is that to write without judgment, because a lot of folks feel that, oh, I can't possibly write a story because, you know, I can't write it. Or it doesn't look right. It doesn't sound right. It doesn't look like what I've read or look like what I know. But you have to start writing without judgment and just get those thoughts on a page. And keep writing, you know, commit to, you know, even journaling. Look at that on a daily basis, set aside time to write something down and don't judge it. Don't judge it as good, bad, or indifferent, but just keep on writing and the flow will come. You know, you'll find ideas that you've written about that you can, you know, take that ball and run on, so to speak. But the key is just to write and not judge what you write and to keep it going on a regular basis. I mean, I don't write linearly. You know, Long Gone Come Home was not written like chapter by chapter by chapter. There was some poetry that I was writing that I did years ago without thinking about it going into a book, you know, but it ended up in the story because it was most appropriate for that time. I could have been sitting on a beach and just, you know, looking at the dolphins out in the water, which I wish I was now, but I'm not. But something like that would spark a story and I'd write it. It didn't have a beginning or an end, but guess what? It made its way in some context in the story. So just keep writing. You know, your pieces don't have to go anywhere. It just has to be your thoughts or your prayers. But put it down. Don't judge it and keep it going. Allow yourself that open berth to write and write some more.
And what was the editing process like for you for the novel once you did find a publisher?
Oh, that was interesting. And I just feel so blessed to have had such a wonderful editor, Lynn Raposo. I'll give her a little shout out because she did an excellent job. Of course, like I said, I just wrote from the heart and wrote in bits and pieces and put things together in a way I thought it worked. So, of course, when I turned in the manuscript to the editor, Lynn said, you know what, you're starting in the wrong place. Move this here. I mean, she was the mechanic and put things in order so that the story could flow and could move. Some things, you know, I scratched my head at, and some things I was like, oh, I get it. Now I see. So it was a process where I had to keep an open mind. I had to let some things go. Of course, I love every word, every phrase, you know, every piece, every character. But the editor said, you know what, move this around here, take this character out. And I ultimately did see her wisdom and how to, you know, put this together. Because it's like a recipe. So we're trying to get that perfection in terms of the dessert that we're making that tastes the best. And the editor was able to, put that all together. And I had to keep an open mind about it. There was a time where, you know, the editor said, we got to lose a character. And I had to fight for one character. I said, no, they've got to stay. And I won that battle. But most parts of the editing process worked very well as I was able to kind of knit it together along with my editor, who I really trust.
That's great. Well, have you started working on another novel?
I have. I'm in the midst of doing that. We're in the midst of edits for another story that takes place in the 1920s. This is also a story of historical fiction. It goes along the vaudeville circuit. It's about a woman who is like thrust into the business and wants to become a vaudeville star. And she goes through a lot of, hurdles to get to that point. It's also kind of a collection of adventure, mystery, and, it's quite a trek. Right now, the title was Cakewalk. So I'm looking forward to bringing that into the world.
That sounds fun. Well, what novels have you read recently that you enjoyed?
Well, right now, I wish I could read more. I mean, that's been my happy place, but I've been so busy with, of course, Long Gone Come Home and in writing Cakewalk and getting that out. So I haven't had as much time as I'd like to really, really read. You know, I've started bits and pieces here, like I'm reading right now, Take My Hand by Dolan Perkin Valdez, which is it's not a lightweight novel, but very well written. And I'm kind of getting started with that as well. I have a few also I've started because I like, mysteries and adventures and things like that. But, my eye is always open for some new adventures. Oh, Black Candle Woman. I've been reading that also. I used to be like, I got to read a book from beginning to end and then start another book. But, as life has gotten so hectic, I'll start one and I'll stop it. Then I'll start doing something else. And then I'll open. I'm sure I'm not alone in all that. So stories that have phenomenal women and great tales of, overcoming challenges. That's the stories that attract me.
Sure. Well, where can people find you online if they want to learn more about you and your debut novel?
Well, they can find me at the usual spots. I'm on Instagram at Monica C. Kilgore. I'm also on, you can find me on Facebook at author Monica Chanel Kilgore. You can go to my website, which is, MonicaChenaultKilgore.com. So I'm out there.
That's great. Well, again, we've been speaking to Monica Chenault Kilgore, author of the debut novel, Long Gone Come Home. The novel is available now, so go buy a copy. And Monica, thanks for doing this interview.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely.